Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
We gotta break the habit of everybody being quiet. We should just listen to chatter.
We started chattering.
Yeah, we're chattering a little bit. Welcome back to Cinema Chop Shop, coming to you from a new location for the first time. We're coming to you from Sean the Brew Boss's man cave, right?
That sounds so douchey.
It's not. It is a man cave, though.
A little douchey, though.
All right, well.
It just doesn't have
like a man bin.
I was
thinking
more manly stuff when you said man cave, though.
It's man cave adjacent. Anyway, welcome to Cinema Chop Shop.
The cave, the actual cave in the backyard.
It's adjacent to a real cave. This is a movie podcast, despite all evidence to the contrary, that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? We do have an online presence. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We have a Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Also, we've recently added an Untappd profile for the podcast. We have quite a few friends now because I hopped onto some of my friends' pages and poached some friends for the podcast. So it's pretty sweet over there. It's Cinema Chop Shop on untappd.com. We're going to be checking in all of the beers that we'd actually check in here on the show on there, so you can follow along because it's lots of fun. Also, shout out to our first binge listener, local Florence listener and also friend of Seminar Brewing, Jamie T from Florence. Shout out to him. Thanks for enjoying the show. And I heard he's going to do a review. I heard he's going to give us our first review. So that would be amazing. A first binge watch or binge listener and first review. My name is Travis, and I will be your host / chief mixologist because we are doing a bartender / drinking movies episode today. It's fitting because I just got off a shift of bartending and worked one yesterday, as did my lovely wife Michelle, who's back on the podcast by her own volition. She's not under any duress.
I had to set him straight when it comes to bartending.
Yeah, she's a real bartender. I'm just a beer jockey. I'm a beerista, if you will. But I do welcome back my lovely wife Michelle. Thank you for being here. Yeah. And also my sister from another mister. Yes. Hillary is in the house. And she is offering not bartender experience, but a little bit of drinking experience, maybe some blackout experience.
Yes.
But definitely a perspective on movies as well. And you know him, you love him. The Brew Boss, Sean, he's back on the show. I forget how many episodes you've been on now because it's been that many. I'm just calling you regular guest Sean now.
I like it.
And also, respect, because we're in your man cave adjacent. And also, as always, we're joined, not in the shop, but in the man cave, by producer, editor, engineer extraordinaire, the Canadian in your brain again, it's Andrew Tay.
Hello.
He's so far away. We were supposed to have one more guest today, and it was Holly, a full-time bartender and somebody who's a very gregarious speaker and loves movies. She might come and join us on the show. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says watch, chop, retrofit, because basically that's what we do here. We watch older movies, and then we chop them up, and we recast them with contemporary actors. But the exercise is purely a hypothetical one. It's purely an experiment of the mind. We are not in favor of remakes or remake-dependent culture or sequel/reboot-dependent culture. We want young or aspiring filmmakers to be more reliant on original content.
Definitely.
And the the whole there's nothing new under the sun idea should go out the window. Just use your imaginations. And that's what we're doing here. We're using our imaginations, which brings us to the energy drink check-in. Sean brought one from across state lines. I think you probably want to be the one to check this one in, right?
Sure, yeah. I saw this one. It spoke to me from the shelf. It's called cocaine.
Cocaine!
And it describes itself as a high-caffeine energy supplement that is also spicy hot.
I wonder if they had to get licensing from the drug cartels to use the name cocaine for their energy drink.
I don't know, but it's made in Hillsboro, North Carolina.
Oh, well, that's not too far away.
And they have an energy level on the back, and it's a 3.5...
uteri?
Uteri.
Are those supposed to be bull's horns, like a cow skull?
Why would it be? There's no bull in their logo.
There's no uterus in their logo either.
Maybe Red Bull was the first energy drink.
Maybe it's woman on.
Like your uterus.
Just remember, it's uterus, not uteru.
Uteri?
I'm going to try it. Now, it says spicy on the label. Does anybody find it spicy?
I got grandma's Kool-Aid mixed with Dimetapp, kind of.
I was thinking the spiced apple rings that are jarred and canned from when you were a kid.
It's got a real lean feel to it. I do get a little bit of spiciness on the back. They probably just added straight, capsaicin. They took a little bit of mace and added it to the back end of this one.
Yeah.
So it's called cocaine, but it's by who? Who makes it?
The name of the company is Redux. Redux Beverages.
Redux Beverages Cocaine.
Send us money.
We know you got that cocaine money.
But I kind of keep wanting to drink it.
It's because of the spiciness. The spiciness. I have this theory that people love spicy foods and spicy things because it's a little bit of pain and it releases a little bit of endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that like physiological reaction. All right, so we have another one, another energy drink that we're going to check in. This one is zero sugar and it's called Xers. Those are tropical blast energy drink. The X and the S are really prominently featured, not unlike X the '80s/90s band INXS.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's pretty rad. It's this one was donated to us by Rob the Cook from Konza here in Florence. Worldly flavor, local flair. Check them out, and we're gonna try this one as well.
I knew Hillary would get hooked on cocaine.
From the jump.
Okay. I'll give it a little shot here.
This one's much more tolerable.
Yeah.
I'm interested in possibly blending them together for an excess of cocaine. You call it an overdose. You mix half and half excess and cocaine, and it's called an overdose. All right, that will bring us to the end of the energy drink check-in.
Check
it in. And rolling it right along to the Department of Corrections Department. And
Department of Corrections. You
just got it? You just got it. This is like the fourth or fifth show you've been on.
Sorry.
And, okay, so, Sean, you said you had one.
It's not really a correction, mm-hmm. but it is kind of, you corrected me in the last episode.
So it's a correcting Travis correction.
No, not at all. It's a conspiracy, actually, that I've developed a theory. Okay. So we did the heist movies in the last episode, and you made reference to Quincy Jones doing the music in...
Or the Hot Rock.
In the Hot Rock.
Right.
And I said, oh, yeah, and it had a Little Richard song in it.
Yeah.
You said, no, that was the other movie.
Yes.
Well, Quincy Jones did the music in the other movie.
The other movie, Dollars, a.k.a. Money Sign, a.k.a. The Heist.
So my theory is that you have a Quincy Jones agenda that you're pushing.
But Quincy Jones, oh, that's your theory?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I am getting paid by Quincy Jones.
He's
been supplying all of the energy drinks.
Now,
he doesn't know that I've been trying to get them to sponsor the show also. I'm double
just
dipping here.
Racket.
Yeah, double dipping. It's a real Ponzi scheme of energy drinks, podcasts, and Quincy Jones. So I also have a correction, just one that I know of. On the Heist Movies episode, which is in the can, I said that my pick, the fourth member of the team in the Hot Rock, the driver... I went with a female actress, a comedic actress, who I'm really a big fan of, but I called her Abby Hoffman. And her name is actually Gabby Hoffman.
Is she related to Gabby Hoffman?
Well, yeah, Gabby Hoffman is the actress. Abby Hoffman was a 1960s and 70s acid guru / merry prankster / author of Steal This Book. Not to be confused with the very hilarious and cutesy pie Jewish actress Gabby Hoffman. So that will, unless anybody else has any glaring...
Didn't she bear it all in Girls?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. She was the...
That not her on my Cutie Pie list. She was
the sister of Adam Driver's character, Adam, in the HBO show Girls. All right, that brings us to the theme of this episode, which is appropriate because I'm starting to get a little buzz. It's the bartender / drinking movies episode, and it's in honor of, on December 1st, is Bartender Appreciation Day. So we are in appreciation of all of the bartenders out there. Remember to tip your bartenders. And in honor of that, we are doing a couple of different bartender / drinking themed movies for the recast. But before we get into that, we're going to do a midnight double feature. Woo-hoo. You guys have your midnight double feature picks? Are they lined up?
Yes.
You guys ready to go? Who wants to go first? Anybody volunteering?
I'll go.
All right, Sean's going first. Okay, do it.
So let's see.
I'm going to go with two. Excuse me. That two that are not exceptionally...
lean in a little bit.
Great films, but they both have the bartender theme.
Okay.
Number one, Coyote Ugly.
Uh-oh.
Not it a good movie.
Okay. I'm not seeing any gasps from anyone else on the panel, so I don't think anybody picked that.
It's not a great movie, but it's a movie. And bartenders. And the second is equally not a great movie, but it's probably more beloved, Roadhouse.
Roadhouse! Nice.
That one I didn't think about.
Yeah. So it's a bar movie for sure. Mm-hmm. But our main character is a bouncer, right?
He's a bouncer, but there's some bartenders going on.
It's all about the bar business.
There's a lot of drinking in the movie.
It shows a realistic scene of what it's like in bar life as
a drinking / bar movie.
There's a lot of drinking related violence.
The best. And Roadhouse was actually considered one of the best.
Roadhouse.
The bar drinking, I guess, because it's memorable.
All right. So, Hillary, are you ready with yours?
I can go next. This was a tough one. I kind of had a triple feature, but I'll go with my two favorites.
Okay.
Which were, of course, National Lampoon's Animal House. How can you not include that in a drinking movie?
Yeah, it's amazing. Completely a romp comedy, if you will.
Made in the 70s,
Set in the 60s.
60s? Yeah. Okay.
Of course, John Belushi,
Tim Matheson, Karen Allen, Donald Sutherland.
Oh, Karen Allen's going to come up in my double feature. That's funny you said that.
Indiana Jones All-Star, you know?
Yeah.
She's
in there.
She was popping at that time, too. That was...
Donald Sutherland is in there?
Donald Sutherland. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Bacon.
Don't forget about Kevin Bacon.
Popping up.
He was not the uncredited corpse in... In
the Big Chill,
but he was the cameo guy trying to steal the cab in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay.
Continue.
And my second picture that I picked was The World's End.
2013,
directed by Edgar Wright, one of my favorite directors. Mm-hmm. Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Patty Considine. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but I loved him, his character.
He was the shorter one, the kind of...
No, he was the third one who ended up...
With a sister, okay,
Rosamund
Rosamund
Pike, who was then Gone Girl.
Yeah.
She got nominated for an Oscar for that. I didn't write it down.
And then also Martin Freeman. Yeah.
You know, that one had a ton of main characters, but
it's an ensemble cast. And his third entry into the Cornetto, Three Flavors of Cornetto trilogy.
And the one I was going to squeeze in between those two was Old School, because I thought that it kind of hit the 20s with... Animal House, college years, then the kind of middle years, and then World's End is more.
So it bridges the gap.
Yeah.
Between the actual, the good old days and the the too old for this
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, and they're looking back at trying to relive the good old days, basically, is what the world's in. Yeah. It's one last hurrah, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, but then they run into some other things. That,
some other issues.
Some other
like
issues.
The end of the world.
The end of the world. The world's end. All right, so... Michelle, do you want to go with your double feature? She's chomping at the bit to go with her double feature.
Yeah, actually, first
here.
I picked a documentary called Hey Bartender. And nice. It's about the... Basically, it follows two different bartenders along their different types of bartending experience. And it kind of, you know, goes back to the rebirth of the bartender and the cocktail after Prohibition.
Okay.
It's 2013 documentary.
Okay, so after the speakeasy and when... So it's been legalized again...
Like one guy's a Marine and he buys his hometown bar and struggles to keep it afloat. And the other guy's trying to make it as a big bartender in the city. It's a good little documentary.
I would like to check that out. I love documentaries. So there's a few of them that are going to come up on the 2017.
Hey Bartender.
Hey Bartender.
Hey Bartender. Okay, I got it. Like your.
And my second pick is X-Men.
X-Men, the first one?
Yeah.
Not the first class,
the,
but X-Men.
The bartender
movie.
Who hosts the bare knuckle fight in the Alaskan bar at the beginning of the movie. And he pulls a shotgun on Wolverine, and then Wolverine just like makes it assault off, and
he
doesn't work.
Was Sabretooth the bartender?
No, but he's living in Alaska hiding now, like at the beginning of the series. Yeah, it's a burly bar scene.
It's a tangential bar related scene.
I remember.
That's gonna
they're
that's
like bare knuckle
into...
fighting, and Hugh Jackman's winning. And he gets mad and pulls a shotgun on him. He's like, oh no.
That is also going to play a role in my double feature. I like those picks, though, baby. It sounds like you put some real thought into those, and I appreciate it. So my first pick, this is actually my second pick, but I'm going to go with it because it's kind of come up twice, a little bit in Hillary's picks and a little bit in Michelle's picks. I'm going with Raiders of the Lost Ark from 1981 because when we first meet Karen Allen's character, her name is Marion Ravenwood. She's working as the owner / bartender / competitive drinker at the
drinking grown men under the table
at
for
the,
fun.
Right.
I salute her.
Absolutely, she is. She's it's a bar in Nepal where she's kind of gone off to hide after her estrangement from her father, and her bar eventually burns down because of Nazis, and then she ends up with Indiana Jones. Fucking hate Nazis. But
you know how to ruin a good party. Though.
Right. So Karen Allen was in one of your picks.
Yes.
And this is a movie that starts with a bar scene brawl / outskirts of society bar. All right. So that tied that together. The other one is a movie from 2011, and it's called The Rum Diary. It was based on a novel by Hunter S. Thompson that he actually wrote in 1959, but it was not published until 1998. And it was directed by the same director as one of our recast picks today.
He was also the writer as well.
The writer as well. And so he based this, of the recast pick, yes. The director of The Rum Diary is going to come up later. So it's Hunter S. Thompson's second novel, but the first, the earliest that's been published, because there's a book called Prince Jellyfish that has not been published yet that he wrote prior to 1958. But the basis of the movie is there's a journalist named Paul Kemp who's in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and it's basically a bullshit assignment, and so he and a cohort get into all kinds of hijinks with lots and lots of rum drinking. The drinks are flowing and they're cheap, but they can also cause you to get into some shenanigans and trouble.
Yes,
so
free
those are my two picks for the Midnight Devil feature. Do we need to say anything else about?
I was going to also mention that your Raiders of the Lost Ark. Was that the one in Lost Ark? Yeah. She later tries to use her drinking skills to seduce her way out of the tent.
Oh yeah, out of the tent. Yes, you're absolutely right.
She tries to get the guy drunk so she can
Mm-hmm.
She can get out.
She's using her bartending skills, yes. Along with her drinking skills. Yes.
And seduction.
Yes, very good.
And her rockin' hot body as well.
Karen Allen. I kind of wish she would not have reprised that role for the Crystal Skull. She should have just left it.
If her and Harrison Ford hadn't been in it, there would have been nothing.
It would have just been Shia LaBeouf.
That was some extra retirement money she probably needed.
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, I don't want to go on and say all that, but
I just know if I was her, I'd be like, thank you. I'll take that paycheck.
I appreciate her coming back.
I would just say, like I said.
You know, I'm a huge Indiana Jones fan, and I didn't hate that movie nearly as much as everyone else in the free world seemed to.
Yeah.
There were parts of it that I wasn't crazy about.
There were parts that were ridiculous.
It's Indiana Jones.
The Last Crusade is my favorite, even though it's not the first one I grew up with.
I was just happy to see it on the big screen. I was a kid when these movies came out, but I grew up on them, so it was still exciting.
There is a definite regression in quality. I think it's called diminishing returns with the Indiana Jones franchise. The first one is the best. Temple of Doom is the next best one. Then Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade is my favorite. The Last Crusade is my favorite because it has more clues and more.
Shock the day.
That is
Kalimah. Shock the day. We might have to do an Indiana Jones episode. All right, so that brings us to the recast. It's our feature segment here on the show. We're doing two drinking/bartending movies, and I really think that we're going to have to do the drinking one first, because even though it was kind of a grating movie and it was kind of hard to take, it does currently have a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, whereas the other film in our recast that will go unnamed as of yet only has a fucking 5%.
This movie is considered one of Britain's biggest cult films.
Yep, it's absolutely true.
It's super realistic to the point where it's scary, and I enjoy watching it. Like, it made me cringe,
but that doesn't make them not good.
So the movie that we're talking about is called With Nail and I, and it was from I didn't write down the date. What date? 1987, and it was directed by Bruce Robbins, who was also the director. Bruce Robinson, who was also the director of The Rum Diary in 2011, much later. But in 1984, just prior to this, he did The Killing Fields.
Oh, wow.
And just after this, he did Fat Man and Little Boy with Paul Newman about the atomic bomb.
He's written more than he's directed.
And
I have Jennifer 8.
What is that? Is that even
writing credit?
Okay. That was my Halloween double feature pick.
Was one of our that was your recast pick for the minisode on Scary Movie
Night. Also showed it. Yeah,
we
on
did.
Scary
we did.
Night.
Yes. So that's crazy. That's wild. So Bruce Robinson said that this movie was openly autobiographical, and it was about his experiences in England in the 1960s. And even though it was made in the 80s, it was set in the 60s, kind of the social upheaval age, the counterculture movement, at least their version of it. But it features two out-of-work actors who are out of control, especially one of them, Withnail, the And I character, whose real name is Marwood. That only appears in the screenplay, the published screenplay, in the movie and the Wikipedia page. And in the movie, he's uncredited other than And I. So we've got Richard E. Grant as Withnail, and then we've got Paul McGunn, am I saying that right? McGunn as And I or Marwood. So do we need to say anything more about the plot of this movie? We've got two out-of-work actors. They take advantage of one of them's flamboyant gay uncle to take a countryside getaway. What do they call it? They take a holiday. They go to take a holiday in the countryside, and it becomes completely disastrous. And that's probably enough to give away for Withnail and I. Oh, one more thing that I wanted to mention is that it's kind of like England's version of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So much, so much so that Ralph Steadman did the cover artwork and the artwork for this movie, and he also did all of the illustration for.
He's the famous illustrator for most of Hunter S. Thompson's
yes,
work.
Exactly. And so yeah, that's all we really need to say about that. Let's go with the first character. It was Withnail, portrayed by Richard E. Grant. He was 30 at the time. Who wants to go first? Michelle wants to go first.
All right, so I pick Nicholas Holt.
Ooh, that's a good one.
To be Withnail, because I can see him just going off the deep end, like totally playing that character to the extreme.
Now, real quick, Nicholas Holt is the guy from Skins.
Early
Skins. He's also in Mad Max. He's one of
He's in the Zombie Love
the
movie.
War Boys.
What's it called?
He's in Warm Bodies.
Yes.
He is the young beast in the X-Men First Class.
Oh, yes, that's true.
He's also in the Mad Max film.
For a split second, I thought you were talking about Lucas Haas.
No.
But not. Nicholas Holt.
Lucas Haas? Isn't he, like, from the 80s?
He's like 45 or something. He's older than I am.
He was in The Man Without a Face with Gabby Hoffman.
He was in Witness, anyway.
So, no, that wasn't him. Never mind.
Department of Corrections.
Yeah, I just realized who Lucas Haas actually is. All right, so you've got your guy.
Nicholas Holt was 27, even though the original actor was 30. I think he can pull it off better than... The pick I have for Marwood but he's older.
All right.
Anyway, we'll get there in a minute.
We're going to go around in this direction since we're kind of moving this way. I'm going with a guy named Evan Peters, who was on several seasons of American Horror Story.
I liked it.
He's also in...
He's a good actor.
He's also in the X-Men.
Yeah, one of those X-Men. With the newest...
Quicksilver.
Thank you.
He made the one move, that second one.
And you could see him kind of being deranged, which is really what this character requires.
He plays great.
Even though he's not British, I don't think that's a requirement for this story.
No, I don't think he is.
You could even set it somewhere completely different.
I wish I had not limited mine.
So Evan Peters is right around the right age. I think he's 29 now.
Yes.
All right, so move it along. Hillary.
I had that the original guy who played it was about 27. So I was trying to go for under 30. I had a lot of different people, but I went with it. I'm going to butcher his name.
Well, the character says, I'm about to be 30.
Okay. Well, this guy is
Maybe that's
is
what I'm
young.
Thinking. But
he is young, but I think that he could do it. His name is, and I'm going to butcher it, Doc Ray? Montgomery, he is Billy in the Stranger Things 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Rob Lowe to me.
Okay, yeah. I used him to play Rob Lowe in our hockey movies episode, Youngblood.
He looks so much like a young...
Sister from another mister. She sees it. All right.
Anyways, I think that... I mean, he's British. He can...
Okay.
He can... I'd like to see him play that if... Deranged,
Is he the same one who got busted for coming in for...
No, that's the older brother of the kid who got taken in the...
But this is the guy from the second one who's like the bully.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bully Billy.
Oh, him.
Bully Billy. Don't no spoilers because we haven't finished.
I'm not going to say anything. I just thought that... give him a shot. Right?
I can see him doing it.
I like it. I like it.
He's coming in hot right now. Like, let's give him a cult film to have under his belt. Everyone needs.
Gotcha.
This is true.
All right.
Set his career off.
Sean, what do you think about this?
I'm going a little older on my two cast members. I'm going for mid to late 30s. I'm going Tom Hiddleston for my pick.
Ooh, Tom Hiddleston wants to be James Bond so bad.
Yep.
He was recently in High Rise. He's also Loki in
all the Marvel movies.
All of those Marvel movies. Is that right?
He was. They broke up. Yeah. You know how that goes.
Sorry. He's got a real bad reputation. Okay, so Tom Hiddleston's a pretty good pick. So all of your picks are just a little bit older.
Just a little
bit
older than that.
Once again, the story is not really age specific.
No, it's not. Addiction, all ages have trouble with addiction.
I was thinking that being fucked up has no age.
Exactly. Like I said, addiction is not discriminatory by age. So, Sean, you want to go ahead and start your second pick or not?
It doesn't matter to me. Whatever the boss
says. No, we'll go...
reverse.
Yeah, we'll go in reverse order. That sounds perfect. So the second role is Marwood or Andai, and it was portrayed by Paul McGann, who was 28 at the time, a little bit younger than our lead role. Also, we should mention there's only two people really in this movie that we're going to talk about, even though the flamboyantly gay uncle was a plot point.
I do have a pick for him.
Okay, yeah, bonus pick. All right, Sean, who do you got for Andai?
I think Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nice.
Jake Gyllenhaal to your...
The Rock.
Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah. They could
I can see good chemistry between the two.
And so
this
character
yeah.
is kind of like a reluctant participant in a lot of the activities that happen, a lot of the bullshit hijinks that Withnail puts him mm-hmm. through, despite the fact that he's our narrator, and also he's a writer. Correct?
Yeah, but you're, I think you're more sympathetic yeah. towards his character, and you're meant to be.
An actor or just
he's
a
writer and an actor, but he's the narrator of the movie. He's the narrator of the story.
He's also
the only person in the story with any sense. He's the voice of reason in the story, even though he's kind of a weak voice of reason. He gets yeah. himself caught up
That's
in a lot of bullshit.
To the Trainspotting character.
Yeah. Yes, very yeah. similar.
That's
it is.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. I saw the movie.
Okay.
Especially when you're
yeah, painful on the same level, just different just, drugs. You know. Yeah.
Okay. I picked Jamie Bell. I've loved him since I saw him in Billy Elliot as a little kid.
The
ballerina,
Irish
yeah.
kid. He's been in Filth, which is another Irvin Welsh novel. He's
I've
the guy
seen
who wrote Trainspotting.
Okay.
And he was in King Kong. He was the voice of Tintin. And I love that movie, Defiance. Did y'all see that?
I heard about it, but
movie.
I didn't see it.
It had Daniel Craig.
Ooh.
Liev Schreiber.
Oh, must watch it then. Yeah. Liev Schreiber.
Jamie Bell, three brothers. They're Jewish. They're hiding out in the woods. They have a Jewish camp hidden in the woods, and they're kind of protecting their camp. The two older brothers are fighting off anyone who comes near them, and Jamie Bell's the youngest brother. Anyways, he's, let's see, he's about 33 years old, but I think that he looks super British.
Okay.
You know, and
he's got that British look.
Yeah, and he's a good actor. He really is solid in everything I've seen him in. So
okay, I'm looking at him right now, and yeah, I could see that totally. Oh man, what did I just see him in? Was he in that? Reese Witherspoon romantic comedy we just watched the other night? Was he
no.
the writer one?
I think
no,
he
was not.
Well, he kind of looks like that guy, though, right?
No. He looks more like the Adam Kingsman.
a little bit, yeah. Okay, so...
Yeah, Jumper as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in, like, blockbusters to more...
Indie
type stuff, so... But...
Sorry, I just had this balloon I had to let the air out of real quick. Listeners cannot hear that, but it's funny to us in the room. So my pick for Andai is I went with a different different ethnicity, but once again, it doesn't matter. The setting would kind of determine whether or not these two people would be hanging out with each other. So I guess in my iteration of this movie, it's a little bit more contemporary. And I went with a African-American actor who is 29 now. He's just 1 year older than Paul McGann was at the time. He has a pretty sweet role on The Walking Dead. He's also in Straight Out of Compton as Dr. Dre. His name is Corey Hawkins. He's in the movie Kong Skull Island as well this past year. He's one of the newer people who joins the band of people. I'm not caught up either. I am a cut up, but I'm not caught up on The Walking Dead either. We're just gonna edit out the part where you laugh, so it makes me sound just sound like a jackass.
We edit that laugh out, please.
Yeah, so Corey Hawkins played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. So I think he would be a good kind of introspective narrator writer type to my Evan Peters as Withnail.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle, my lovely wife, who do you got?
I picked Robert Patterson.
Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
Of Twilight fame.
Hey, he's trying to burn that bridge. He's doing so many indie films now.
He was in Lost City of Zed.
He's doing
he's also
so many
in,
indie films, and he's trying to get rid of that that cute boy.
And
I just saw him in something.
He was so burly in some movie I saw recently. I was like, damn, you need a shower, dude. Yeah.
Oh, he's in Good Time, that heist movie. The indie heist movie. Cool.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean,
why not?
The Twilight movies are not my favorite, not because of the acting. It's more because they're based off of poorly written books.
I agree, but yeah, they.
Hashtag forgive Twilight.
But that doesn't say anything about him as an actor.
Okay.
I've never actually seen him.
You should see some of his indie stuff. It's really good. It's like
I've seen
gritty.
Him in the movie, not the Twilight. Seen the Twilight movies.
So. I feel like before we go into intermission, we should just give the listeners a thumbs up or thumbs down on With Nail and I. Can we do that? Is it possible?
I'm a thumb sideways.
I'm thumb sideways.
It's brutal. It's
very hard
to
take.
It's like Train Spotting. It's difficult to watch. Yeah. It's like leaving Las Vegas. It's
Train Spotting I can watch multiple times. Requiem for a Dream.
That's the same thing. Yeah. It's just like
But those types of movies sometimes need
they
to
depict
be
real
seen.
Life. Yeah,
they need at to be least, gritty
at least once because
it is some people's
good,
real life.
A cautionary tale,
it's a good depiction of actual real life in movies, which we are not always getting, especially with romantic.
We get the
comedy.
Glorified Hollywood version of everything.
I appreciate that type of like cult films
are
often like that, but they're necessary and they. Especially for the youth. If you're like 15, watch this movie. Right?
Don't do drugs, don't drink.
It'll change your life.
Stay away from that heroin. Yeah.
Anything else? All right, so with that positive note.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
Uncle. The uncle.
The creepy uncle, Robert Griffin. Oh, When I saw that, I was like, Harry Potter.
He's the step uncle in Harry Potter.
The one who makes him live under the stairs?
Yes, that's him. I told you that.
Speaking of Harry Potter.
I was going to say, I think we've been through this before. My love for Leslie Nielsen. Make it go 2.5.
Yes.
Smell of Fear. He was
or 33 and a third also.
No, that's the third.
Oh, okay.
The second one's 2.5.
Oh, so he's in The Naked Gun. I thought you were saying that your pick was Leslie Nielsen.
He's in Naked Gun.
Rest in peace, Leslie Nielsen.
The Smell of Fear.
Okay.
As Dr. Meinheimer. My pick was Aidan Gillen, Littlefinger.
There you go.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, man.
He's creepy enough for sure.
I thought he could play that. Maybe.
Yeah. I wasn't quite sure what this movie was trying to say about homosexuality. It wasn't like homophobic, but it was also exploiting somebody else's sexuality. It's kind of a fucked up movie. There was not a very good.
Think about when it was made, though. The time
moral.
Period, the era. There was no real moral to this story.
I'm
surprised that they had such an openly gay character in 1987 in a movie.
That's why
it was a cult film and independent film.
People were gay in the 80s. The late 80s. It was more the fear of AIDS, I think, that they had, and then.
Yeah,
at that point when the epidemic was spreading and people were realizing stuff was going on.
Yeah,
yeah. They weren't portrayed a lot in film earlier.
That's for our AIDS episode.
Okay, yeah.
Recasting
Philadelphia. All right. So with that, we brought it out on a laugh. We're going into intermission.
That's so funny.
All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host, Travis, just chiming in here at the intermission to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We appreciate the feedback, and any review is a good review. Also, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email, give us some suggestions for themes for future episodes. I have about a year's worth planned out, but you're more than welcome to offer advice, and I'm open to suggestions as well. And as always, thank you for listening, and remember to watch Chop Retrofit. All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during the intermission, and welcome back. We are here with you for everyone's favorite part, the beer check-in. And we've got 1, 2, 3 different beers that we're going to be checking in today. We're going to go with the most basic bitch of them first. It's the America's oldest brewery, Yingling. And this is a Yingling Light Lager. It's only 99 calories. And if you want a super light beer that has a tiny, tiny bit of flavor, it's not a bad way to go. Anybody else want to weigh in on this one?
I agree.
Yingling Light Lager. Have you tried it?
I'm not into it. Thank
She's you. Not into it. Michelle, you've had it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I like it. It's definitely a better alternative to a full American dark beer.
Right. Okay. All right. So after that, we've got Hillary's check-in, which is...
Lagunitas. IPA.
Lagunitas. Yes. Out of Petaluma.
Petaluma. Good.
Yeah. Probably a pretty solid IPA that you can actually find around here in our small South Carolina town. And then thirdly, because we are in the post-Thanksgiving world, Sean has one he wants to check in for us.
Yeah, I picked this up on the road. It is Enchantress by Three Taverns Brewing out of Decatur, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Decatur.
It is described as
straight out Decatur.
It is described as a cranberry sauce sour ale.
All right, and have you already poured some here?
Listeners,
it's yeah.
Oh yeah!
It actually smells like turkey. I don't know.
Like the nation of turkey.
Smelled it? Not well. A little bit. It could go either way.
Turkey. It smells like the cranberry sauce.
It's brewed with giblets.
Oh, greasy.
No, I can kind of see what you're saying, though. It might just be like
association. It's a taste association.
Yeah.
I eat cranberries, though.
Yeah, but you know the smell.
You smell it at the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is actually right up my alley. I can deal with this.
That's good.
Yeah. I can have yours? Awesome.
Hillary convulsed when she drank it for the listeners at home.
Michelle, what did you think?
I like it.
Yeah, I'm good with it. It reminds me of almost a goes.
Yeah,
like a
cranberry goes.
Yeah. There goes the neighborhood. All right, so I totally put my notes away just to say how much I liked this beer. So do we need to say anything else about the beer check-in? No, we're going on to the 2017 movie marathon. Move it along, Travis, move it along. Speaking of moving it along, today is the 26th day of November, as of the time of this recording, even though this is going to kerplunk a little bit later on. And it is the 330th day of the year. I only have 35 days left in the year to meet my goal of 365 movies. And as of right now, I'm only on 307 and a half because I watched half of Kingsman 2 this morning. The Golden Circle. It's uter us, not uter you. As of right now, I've seen almost exactly half of it, and it looks really good. I'm enjoying it so far.
I finished watching it today.
Oh, no. She's ahead of me. She did. Okay, so that's number 308 for Michelle. But it will be 308 for me as soon as I finish watching it. Number 307 was a documentary. There's a lot of documentaries on this list. It's a movie called 24 by 36, a movie about movie posters. And it's about the decline of hand-drawn movie posters and the young artists who are trying to breathe life back into that art form. Specifically, the guys at Mondo in Austin, Texas. They're affiliated with the Alamo Drafthouse and an awesome website called Birth Movies Death. Really good movie. It's from 2016, but it's just now becoming available to the general public. Watch it if you have any interest in the relationship between visual art and cinema. After that, it's a date movie. It's a date movie. Number 306 is a Reese Witherspoon film called Home Again that I watched with my lovely wife Michelle. It was cute. Yeah. It was a cute movie to watch on a date. So basically, it's Reese Witherspoon and she's married to Michael Sheen. And he is a like record producer and they are estranged. So she goes home again to Los Angeles and kind of becomes the den mother to these three aspiring filmmakers. It's not going to be nominated for any awards, but it was a fun movie. The movie she did last year was nominated for awards, though. The Hiking the Pacific Rim Trail movie.
She was, what was that called?
Backpacking with Reese Witherspoon.
It was the
thinking about my mom.
The female equivalent of Into the Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. Based on a famous book by... A room lady actually did it.
Her relationship with her mother-in-law Dern was in it.
Yes. Number 305 was another documentary called Obey Giant. Obey Giant is about the acclaimed street artist turned graphic designer slash really visual art icon, Shepard Fairey. He's originally from South Carolina, Charleston area, now based out of Los Angeles.
Maybe Brett.
And he, in the film, he provides a very convincing defense for his influences and his own artistic integrity, especially considering all of the controversy that he's been embroiled in over the years from various fronts. If you like him or the intersection between politics and art, check out Obey Giant. And then, speaking of politics, number 304, the last one I'm going to mention, another documentary called The Problem with Apu. And it's about everyone's favorite stereotype on The Simpsons, the Quickie Mart clerk Apu, whose last name I wrote in my review, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. I can pull it up. Also, guys, they got a Letterboxd app for Android, so I'm in hog heaven with my phone and looking up my reviews.
Is that an endorsement?
Yeah, it's an endorsement, and I'm just happy they finally got around to it. There's been an iPhone app for for the Letterboxd for a while. The problem with Apu. All right, comedian Hari Kondabolu has made a thought-provoking documentary about controversial, decidedly stereotypical, but somewhat beloved Simpsons mainstay Apu. There's .. Nahasapima Petalan is his correct name. Yes,
I don't think I could have done that anyway.
Yeah. And that's the end of the 2017 movie marathon. There's some really good artistic related documentaries in there, so check them out. And that brings us to the recast, part two continued, the next one. Yes. And the movie, we've kind of been dancing around it. It's an actual bartending movie.
No one wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to mention the star's name, at least not three times in a row, because he might show up. It's a movie called Cocktail from 1988. And it was directed by Roger Donaldson, who I didn't really look up anything about him.
I did. Sleeping Dogs. 13 Days. Also, No Way Out. He obviously liked Kevin Costner.
We picked different movies to write down. Okay. Write down Dante's Peak.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
And Species.
Oh, Species.
13 Days about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Huh. And a wide range of topics.
Exactly,
for this guy.
Yeah. He's very like, diverse.
Volcanoes.
Just throw me a script, guys.
He was drawn to the world of flair
bartending. I was going to say, mixology. Volcanoes.
So the movie has a very apt rating, a very appropriate rating on Rotten Tomatoes of 5%. Even though when it came out, I was 8 years old. Sean, you mentioned you were like in eighth grade.
Yeah.
But you already knew it was a piece of shit. I thought it was all right.
I was 4 and like, what is this crap they're passing off as cinema?
I was 12, yeah.
So I think one of the redeeming qualities of the movie is the soundtrack. The soundtrack to Cocktail had a lot of good numbers on there. There's Kokomo. There's the Hippie Hippie Shakes. There's Addicted to Love. The soundtrack really carried the flaming piece of dog shit that otherwise would have been this movie.
A rebuttal.
Yes.
Audience percentage rating on Rotten Tomatoes is 56%. Now, granted, it's not a great movie, but I don't think it's 5% shitty.
Okay. All right.
I would give it 30.
30%.
Okay.
Split the difference.
Yeah.
It's
so,
still like poop emoji.
Like,
it's not even.
Do they
even
have a flaming
poop
emoji?
A flame. You could.
What do you say, flaming dog shit? I was just.
You could just like do the poop emoji and then a fire emoji right after it, or vice versa.
This shit's on fire.
This shit is on fire.
You need to watch this now.
So. One of the things that we talked about when we were talking about recasting Cocktail is how we would make it better. Regardless of how you feel about the original version, how would you make it better? And if I could, I'll go ahead and and present my theory of how you could make it better. And I'm going with make it more like the original book that it was based on. It was based on a novel by Haywood Gould. He based it on his own life experiences as a bartender slash...
biographical.
Yep.
I'm going to have to add this to my reading list.
Slash barfly kind of degenerate guy in New York. Brian Brown, who's in the movie, read the original book and the screenplay, the original screenplay, and said that it was one of the most unique, one of the darkest pieces of American...
It is kind of dark.
But the way that he wrote it was dark and not nearly as whitewashed, I
guess.
Was
it soul-crushing?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I haven't read the book myself, but I do have...
I actually have a
review of the movie here, of the book, Cocktail, by Haywood Gould. It says, Brian Flanagan, who's 38 in the book, is a borderline alcoholic, a very would-be writer, a good-looking veteran of countless one-night stands, and a super-pro New York City bartender whose career peaked somewhere around 1972 in Soho. While working at a place, quote, so hip it doesn't have a name, he got a bit part in a movie as a bartender who is repeatedly vomited upon by Meryl Streep, by a Meryl Streepish actress. Moving it along, he is by Meryl Streep. his mentor / soulmate / nemesis, 55-ish vagabond Doug Coughlin, has just opened a bar. Upon arrival, Brian discovers that Doug and his newlywed wife are dead in a murder-suicide.
What? That is super dark.
So he decides to return to New York. This is the book, right?
Yeah.
And eventually settles as a lovable nihilist, but also marries a rich young crazy woman towards the end of his career. So that's the way that I'm going to make this movie better, is by recasting it and reshooting it based on the original novel.
Like I said, that's going to make it really dark.
So there's three roles. The three roles that we're recasting still work in my adaptation, but we're going to go around role by role, okay? The three roles are Brian Flanagan, portrayed by Tom Cruise at the time. He was 26. Brian Brown plays Doug Coughlin, right? Coughlin's Law.
41.
He was 41 at the time, right? And then the love interest of Brian Flanagan is Elizabeth Shue.
Her name is Jordan Mooney.
Jordan Mooney, correct.
She was 25.
She was 25. And I'm replacing the young, awesome, too good for Tom Cruise love interest with the young, crazy, rich wife that Brian Flanagan marries later
in the movie. Yeah.
In the book. In the book.
But in the movie, they have him married the rich heiress.
He goes off to be her lap dog.
Doug Hotless.
I'm not going off script.
We're recasting a book.
I'm recasting the book, but I'm using those same three characters.
But in the movie, Doug Coughlin's character marries the rich New York heiress.
Right, so but Brian Flanagan doesn't.
He doesn't marry the heiress.
Brian Flanagan marries a young, rich, crazy girl at the end of the book.
And in the movie, he marries the girl, like, knocked out.
Right.
But he was kind of the lap dog for a rich woman, though.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so... Brian Flanagan, played by Tom Cruise. Oh, I've said his name twice.
That's three times, actually.
Damn it!
I think he has an agenda for Tom Cruise. Because
can I tell you about Scientology?
Yes. Have you read Dianetics?
You've picked one?
It's not my fault. It's just he was so fucking prolific in the 80s.
Didn't you do all the right moves?
And we also did... what was the other movie we talked about? Never mind. We don't need to keep talking about him. In my adaptation of Cocktail, I'm going with an African American actor. His name's John Boyega. You would recognize him from Attack the Block.
Oh,
he's also in Star Wars. He's also going to be in Pacific Rim 2. So John Boyega is my pick for the young bartender who's well, I guess he's a little bit older in my adaptation, but he's realizing that he might have missed the boat. All right, move it along. Who's next? You want to go this way, Michelle?
I pick for Brian Flanagan, Alex Pettifer.
Alex Pettifer?
No, Pettifer.
Pettifer.
He's
Pederast?
Whatever, Mr. Recast, director of your film / book. Stormbreaker. He's the role of Alex Rider. He's also well known as the new kid in Magic Mike, the protege, the apprentice.
Never heard of this Magic Mike film. All right, so nobody's mad about your pick.
See a male stripper movie with me.
He is. He's charismatic, and he actually has some other roles that have better acting depth than Magic Mike.
Okay.
But he's most well known for his role as the newbie, the kid that Channing Tatum takes under his wing and shows him, like, makes him the prop boy.
Speaking of
the ropes of male stripping.
Tell me his name again, Michelle.
Alex Pettifer.
Alex. Spell his last name so I don't get on any lists.
Pettifer. Yeah.
All right, I got it.
Pettifer.
Look at his face. You'll recognize
it. Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, he's a good pick if you're going with a straight up Tom Cruise kind of jock guy.
With just a good looking guy.
But he's virtually unknown. I mean, not as well known as some other actors, and he's very charismatic even for his age. So I thought he'd be a good discovery role to just, you know, face out there more.
So you mentioned Magic Mike. You mentioned Channing Tatum. I just wanted to make a quick note. So we talked about Lucky Logan on a recent episode. That was during the 2017 movie marathon. Also talked about Kingsman Part 2, The Golden Circle, which he's in the trailers. You know he's in there. He's one of the statesmen. But the song Country Road, no, what's the song called? The John Denver song.
Country Road.
It's called Country Road. Plays a role in both films.
Oh, neat.
Both Kingsman and Logan Lucky. All right, so Hillary, you want to go with your pick?
I went with an actor. I got some help from a young person, young actors. And he's from a Teen Wolf MTV show and Arrow on CW. His name is Colton Haynes.
Yes.
Colton Haynes. Yeah. Sounds familiar.
You or I used him.
Yeah, possibly. Yep.
I recall him being in it. Yeah. In he's a previous,
My notes say openly gay, hot, and studly.
Studly. As in, like, his face?
The perfect amount of facial hair.
I
mean,
okay.
I was recasting Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
So this is who I was like, he's hot. He can sling some drinks for me.
There you go.
Okay.
He's been on American Horror Story. I think his hair is bleached out on that. The last season. And he was an Abercrombie and Fitch model before that. And he's 29 years old.
Alex Pettifer is also a model before he became an actor.
So, speaking of douchebags, Brian Flanagan character establishes himself in the opening scene as a douchebag because he is a military veteran who has missed his bus. And he gets his fellow army compatriots to pretend to be police officers, and they chase down and pull over the bus so he can get on the bus and make it to his New York destination.
You would definitely go to jail for that nowadays. Yeah.
Impersonating a police officer, stolen valor, all that stuff.
No, they were Marines, but anyway.
But they weren't police officers.
That's not the same thing.
All right, so moving it along to Sean for his pick for Brian Flanagan.
All right, so you're going to do a whole reconceptualization of the movie, so I will too. I'm going to go with a modern craft cocktail hipster kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, like
it's the flair bartender.
I like it.
So I'm going to cast Ezra Miller.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid he's going to get pigeonholed from this Flash thing in the Justice League movie. This guy's got some really great indie flicks.
I picked him for the horror movie. Yeah, you did. Because I think that he's adaptable.
Yeah, he was so good in Fantastic Beasts. But he's also done some other small films. And he's my guy.
He pops.
And he's the same age.
He pops on screen, so that's
yeah, he's 26.
26-ish.
See, I foresee, like, Myrtle Beach spring break bartenders.
Okay.
Like, you know, work the tourist scene.
I think he's got a point, though. New York is not like
what
it used to be.
No,
so
it's not.
The hipster bartender thing definitely
was. Yeah. West Coast. West Coast is where it's at. Yeah.
Also,
that's my thing.
My remake is set in Atlanta.
Yeah. Jamaica. He goes to, like, the Pacific Northwest.
Totally.
Picks up some new tricks. Comes back. Yeah.
He picks up some tricks.
Some new bartending cocktail recipes. Yeah.
My remake is set in Atlanta. So... Yeah, so that's going to move us to our second role, right?
Yeah, sure.
Second role is the role of Doug Coughlin, and he was originally portrayed by Brian Brown, who got the role because of his good work in the original F/X. Right, and
he's also in the Thornbirds.
He was also in Peter. Hannah's The Good Wife, and then he was on the TV show in a couple of episodes of The Good Wife as well.
Oh.
I don't know if those two things are related, the film and the movie.
Hmm. Seems like they would have to be if he was
in both.
If not, that's an amazing coincidence. So who wants to go first for the role of Doug Coughlin? I think Michelle beat you to it. She beat you to it. What you got?
She's a teacher.
Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
No, I like him.
I mean,
I like him.
He can be just assholish enough when he wants to be, but also charismatic when the role calls for it. So, I mean, he has his extremes that the original actor had as well.
Yeah, and he's Australian.
That's
Is Brian Brown not Australian?
He is. It's the accent. It's all
the
accent.
Okay. That works a lot, baby.
But Hugh Jackman has nicer teeth.
That original actor was later in the...
Baz Luhrmann?
Baz Luhrmann's stuff,
Australia.
Yes.
As was Hugh Jackman.
Okay,
that works.
As well.
Drawings. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Jane Fosse?
I picked Robert Downey Jr.
Ooh.
Diane Fosse, not Jane Goodall. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. Okay.
He can take apart and change it. Like, Wonder Boys, for me, he made that movie. Like, he's what I remember the most about that movie is as the editor.
Legally, it would require at least three handlers to be around Robert Downey Jr. at all times.
And not much alcohol.
And not much alcohol.
It's not heroin.
Yeah, still. Gateway alcohol. Okay.
But he could play... I think that he would take that film, especially in your type of adaptation, to the next level. Because we all know, Less Than Zero, Wonder Boys, like I said, Natural Born Killers, he can do... anything. Tropic Thunder, my God, he got nominated for an Oscar for playing a black man.
Blackface.
He is white as can be.
In blackface, but very self-aware blackface.
He was good.
It was great,
That character was great, because then his other character was an Australian character. And he's an American, so he's my solid pick there.
All right. I will go next, in keeping with my... Atlanta-based remake of Cocktail that is set...
That's great.
That would be good.
That was great.
That is a little bit closer to the book. I'm going with David Oyelowo. Oyelowo is this guy right here.
Let me see.
He is
really
well known for movies like Selma.
Mm-hmm.
Also, The Butler, and...
What about Queen of Katwe?
Queen of Katwe, he's in that. He's also in Interstellar.
Reacher, in that.
Somebody who will fail, who will not be named. All right, anybody else need to go? Sean, you've got yours ready, let's go.
Yep, I'm going to go with somebody who is from Charleston, South Carolina by
birth.
I met him when he was an undergraduate student at the University of Tennessee. And he went out to California and did some great things. His name is Logan Marshall Green. He's 41 years old. You might know him as the...
Prometheus.
Yes.
And you also might know him from the horror movie Devil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Shocker. And he's a...
Tell me his last name again.
Logan Marshall Green, hyphenated.
He's quite good looking.
He has a lot of...
He's got a little bit of a Tom Hardy.
He's definitely a Tom Hardy
Doppelganger. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Tom Hardy-esque. So, countenance.
I've been waiting to use him for something, and I think he would be
yeah.
in this role.
No, that's awesome. Okay. We're all just loving each other's picks. He is from Charleston, and he's 41. Sean's winning. You've got home court advantage, though, man. All right. So the third and final role that we will recast is the role of Jordan Mooney. And she was originally portrayed by Elizabeth Shue, who was also in a very famous drinking movie, sad one, an Oscar nominated, if not Oscar winning.
I want to say best supporting or supporting or best actress nominated.
Yeah. Elizabeth Shue was in Leaving Las Vegas, not to be confused with Honeymoon in Vegas, also with Nicolas Cage.
But she came in hot with The Karate Kid and one of my favorite childhood movies, The
Adventures of Babysitting.
Adventures of Babysitting. Not to be confused with the remake that's no good.
Before Cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
She followed up with the Back to the Future 1 and 2 mm-hmm. and Leaving Las Vegas. I'd also like to say that as terrible as this movie is, Tom Cruise's next movies were Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July.
And
something else.
Those are both great.
He got nominated for an Oscar for Born on the 4th of July. And Rain Man, Dustin Hoffman got nominated for an Oscar. Did he not? Pretty sure he
Yeah, definitely.
That year,
but, no, he won for Tootsie.
Did he win for Tootsie? Yeah.
So the thing about this movie and Tom Cruise is that the reason that they changed it so much from the novel and the original screenplay was to to accommodate the stardom of Tom Cruise. They couldn't have him. They couldn't have him be a degenerate.
He'd come in with The Outsiders, Top Gun, Risky Business, Legend.
Yes,
and all the right moves before he did that. So he was more in his blockbuster mode than before he was in his gritty, we'll call it gritty acting roles. Although I have to say, he's not my favorite actor, but Magnolia, he was totally solid in that movie. That was an intense role for him, I thought.
Okay. All right, so for the role of Jordan Mooney, Michelle, have you got a good pick lined up? You ready to go on this one?
I do.
I'm going to say Carla Devaney. Am I saying it right?
Oh,
I think it's
Cara Devine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
From Valerian and the City of 10,000 Planets.
Also Suicide Squad, and she's also in the she's in a Taylor Swift video for last album. What was it? Bad Blood. She's part of the Taylor Swift squad. Yes.
It's T Swift squad.
She's like at the Nunchucks and Kicking Ass show.
T-Swift Squad.
Got careful with that one.
True. I was hoping I would say it three times fast and they would all show up here.
He's dreaming, of
so Hillary, if her whole squad showed up here, that would be pretty cool. Hillary, you said that you're ready with your pick.
I picked Zendaya. She does have a last name, but everyone knows her as Zendaya. Zendaya Coleman, from Disney childhood. Fame. Her and Bella Thorne have done a lot of early Disney collaborations. She, what I've seen her on is mostly like TV shows, like Project Runway or something where she's judging a show, like a guest spot. But she has got like personality.
Okay.
And I was just recasting hot young actors / actresses for this movie. And I thought she's quite popular. Let's give her a real movie because she's very popular without having done a ton, if that makes any sense at all.
She's also in a D'Antwoord video.
She was also in
Your pick.
That's my pick.
Michelle's pick is also in a D'Antwoord video.
Oh, really?
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Which Spider-Man actor is that? They're not one.
That's the new one, Tom Holland.
Okay.
And your last pick for the Doug Coughlin was in that movie as well, so I think Zendaya. Let's go Zendaya.
Okay.
She's beautiful.
She is gorgeous.
She is a little... She's only 21. But...
Smoking hot body.
Let's put her in a film. Let's put her in a feature film.
Let's do it.
Why not make a Cocktail? She's got the Tom Cruise popularity that he had to make people go see the movie. Even if it's a shitty movie, they'll go see it. Because she's a star.
Yep. I can see that.
I like it. I like where your head's at. And
we'll wait for the money.
She's the money shot. All right, Sean, who's your pick?
I'm picking someone that you've used before.
Okay.
But I like her. She's age appropriate. It's Samara Weaving. Babysitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also, you just mentioned Bella Thorne in The Babysitter. She's good.
She is also, I was pleased to learn, she's in a movie that I want to see very badly, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, I'm so excited to see that. We almost went to see it last Friday in Columbia because it was playing at the Nickelodeon, but we realized that it was the day before the Clemson Carolina rivalry game, and Columbia would be a madhouse, and so we decided against it. But I really want to see that, and it's a shame that Florence, South Carolina, does not have its shit together enough to carry what appears to be an amazing movie. We saw the preview for it when we went to see Lady Bird, also in Columbia, also not playing in Florence. Wrap it up.
Lady Bird.
All right. So does that? Does that leave me
for
my pick? I'm really excited about mine.
Is it Elizabeth Olsen?
No, it's Sasha Lane. Sasha Lane. I love Elizabeth Olsen.
<though. laughs>
Sasha Lane is in American Honey.
Okay.
She's a pretty new actress. If you haven't seen American Honey, she's just gorgeous. She'll go right along with my Atlanta-based adaptation. So she's done American Honey. She's also in The Miseducation of Cameron Post as Jane Fonda. She's playing Jane Fonda in The Miseducation of Cameron Post. And she's going to be in the 2019 reboot of Hellboy.
Nice.
So Sasha Lane. She's gorgeous. She's really, really good young actress. And she could play the rich, young, crazy wife of Brian Flanagan's burnout bartender in my adaptation. All right, so that's gonna wrap up the recast continued and bringing us right along to the final segment tonight, the wild card. And the wild card was, say again?
Have Hillary explain what it is.
Okay, so the wild card is a movie that was selected by an outside source today. And it's a movie that I actually haven't seen, but I've heard of, and it is called Barfly,
yes.
And it was originally starring Mickey Rooney.
Rory.
Mickey Rourke.
I'm sorry. Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes.
You know what I don't like is bars and flies. No, it's actually Mickey Rourke. So what was the year for Barfly? 1987. And it starred Mickey Rourke and Faye Dunaway. And it's about the life of poet Charles Bukowski.
Semi-biographical.
And so it was directed by Barbette Schroeder. And can you give us a little bit more information about the film itself?
It was basically about two alcoholics who find each other, and they kind of just start sleeping together, basically.
Okay.
And it's just the story of them, you know, if that makes any sense at all. Like, I mean, it is a true alcoholic's tale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just every night they're in the bar. They might fight. When they're drunk, it doesn't matter. The next night, they'll both be back in the bar.
So maybe it should have been pluralized. Maybe it should have been called barflies. Barflies. Okay, so anything else we need to know about the premise of the film before we get into our recast?
It's a comedy drama, but
what?
Let's face it.
A dramedy? There's nothing funny about that.
Well,
also,
well,
I don't.
Drunk people are funny, but
I don't find Bukowski very funny either.
Not so much funny. It didn't have the, you know, well, we'll say it. It didn't have the rape elements that Bukowski is often known for.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Or just the.
They couldn't
have
that in a movie in 87.
You know, there was fighting in between the main characters, but it was just two people going out of bars.
Okay.
That makes any sense.
I like it.
It's worth watching. I mean.
And so the two roles that we're recasting
Mickey Rourke is a little younger.
You almost said Mickey Rooney. I swear to God, you almost
no,
did.
I didn't.
All right, so
Mickey Rourke is a little bit younger, and he is, you know, being a young 30-something-year-old alcoholic.
He's the last barman poet.
Yeah, the older woman in the bar is the one. Let's the last one that left.
Okay.
At the end of the night, Faye Dunaway, who's 10 years his senior, I believe we said, in the original movie.
All right.
You mentioned the three billboards. My original picks were Woody Harrelson and Frances McDormand, but they're nice. Both in that movie together. The three billboards. So I was like, let's not do those two.
Yeah.
I went with Michael Fassbender and Laura Dern.
Whoa, you're not supposed to say them both at the same time? I guess maybe we can.
Let's do it.
In the interest of time, we're gonna knock out our two picks for the movie.
I just think that they're both good actors, actress slash whatever.
All right.
And the age difference would be appropriate.
So. Okay. So I'm going to go next because I've got mine in my head. For the Mickey Rourke character, the almost Bukowski, the semi-biographical representation of Bukowski, I'm going with Mayhem slash Oz himself, Dean Winters.
Oh,
Dean Winters is my pick. He's 53 now.
For Law and Order SVU.
Yeah, yes. Also Oz and Mayhem.
30 Rock. 30 Rock. He was Tina Fey's like repeat boyfriend.
Okay.
He sold beepers. He was the beeper.
And in my remake, the actress is going to be slightly older.
She should be.
Then the... she's supposed to be?
Yeah, she is older.
Okay, well, perfect. I'm going with Sharon Stone.
That's a good pick.
Sharon Stone is my pick. She's currently 59.
You have to think about it. He's a young guy. This is the last... They're both alcoholics. The last woman left at the bar is not going to be his age, necessarily.
Gotcha.
Not going to be how this chick there.
The last resort.
She is his last resort. That's kind of how it happens. And that's... But they're still attracted to each other.
All right. So Michelle and Sean have yet to go. Right, who's going? Michelle's jumping in. Lean in, baby.
For Henry, Henry's character, who's played by Mickey Rourke. Anyway, Mickey. I pick Colin Farrell.
Okay.
He's done a lot more independent.
Yeah, I can see him from True Detective season 2 all over this world.
And he's actually had some stints in rehab, drinking heavily, and some other issues, so he can totally relate. And then I picked for Wanda Wilcox, who's originally played by Faye Dunaway. I picked Winona Ryder.
Oh, ooh, wow.
She can do it. Stranger Things.
Yes.
So it's a renaissance. It's a rebirth.
You just take
the Winona songs?
And mess her hair up. And
is it really?
So, if I pick the same thing that he picks, he calls me a motherfucker. If you pick the same thing he picks, he's like, oh, guess what? That was my pick also.
We have the same taste.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Sean.
I picked Winona Ryder as well.
Mm-hmm.
She plays Frey around the edges very well.
Yes, she does.
And she has had her own issues.
Well, her life has been Frey around the edges.
Shoplifting stuff.
Yeah, she's age appropriate. So for the Mickey Rourke, I picked Sebastian Stan. He played Bucky in the Captain America Avengers movies. So that's who I went with there.
Nice.
Hey,
Allie in the house. aforementioned on the Thanksgiving movies episode, Sean's lovely wife, Allie.
She's brought food to us.
Nice. Yay! And we are thankful for that as well.
Cookies.
So we can say that there's food at the end.
Yes. So have we all done our picks?
That's it.
For the wild card?
I think mine might have been the best.
You might have won.
I think you won.
I don't know. Dean
Francis McDormand.
Dean Winters and Sharon Stone? No?
Francis McDormand. Everything.
They were all interesting picks from different perspectives.
With the arrival of food and the fact that we've been recording for a couple hours now, we're going almost a couple hours now, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank all of the guests, first and foremost, because I'm a smart man, my lovely wife, Michelle. Thank you for being here. Sorry for the part that we're going to cut out later. Also, thank you to my sister from another mister, Hillary.
Mother.
Thank you for being back on the show. We hope to have you back again. Time travel's coming up.
Ooh.
Time travel movies are coming up soon. That's going to be a fun one.
I love time travel.
And regular guest, the Brew Boss, Sean, thank you for having us in your man cave adjacent today.
Anytime.
And that's wonderful. And, of course, the editor, the engineer,
producer.
The producer extraordinaire,
the Canadian
in your brain again, Andrew Tay.
Thank you.
Yes. And we also want to remind...
He got you off.
Wait, I'm sorry. You said thank you, and then you were going to say something else.
Say thank you, and... Happy trails.
That was totally worth me stopping and going back for. All right. So also we want to remind the listeners to please go on to iTunes and rate, review, and give us some feedback.
Subscribe.
Send us emails. Subscribe. I'm assuming that if you're listening to the show, you've already subscribed. That might not be true. If you haven't subscribed, please do. It's just a click. And then unsubscribe and then subscribe back again, because I think the more clicks you get, the better.
Click back.
Subscribe from multiple computers. And also, please, as always, remember to...
Tip your bartender.
To tip your bartenders, and please watch Chop Retrofit.
Okay.